Blog Talk Radio.
During this nation's last presidential election, some of our citizens chose to elect an individual who has zero experience in government compared to an individual who has over 30 years experience in the government. An individual was elected to the Oval Office that has never had any military experience whatsoever. We put in an individual that is a known racist in the White House. And after the election of Donald Trump, it looked as if it was a green light for what I like to call closet racists to finally drop the hood, take off the robes, lay them in the living room, and step outside and rear their ugly heads and say, yes, I am a racist. And it seems like today that we are seeing more and more of incidents of racism. Is racism on the rise, or is it that we're learning more about it because of social media? Good afternoon. Welcome to Injustice Investigations. I'm Al Scott.
Hey, this your boy Rob Thomas Jr. And to piggyback off of what Alfonso said, again, it's like a lot of the closet racists have come out of the closet and standing right in the front yard right now. And it's obvious. But what happens is when we have people who are willing to speak up for themselves and speak up against the system of oppression, they're labeled as troublemakers. And today we have Chastity Kennedy, a very conscious young lady, who basically has been involved, has been thrown into a controversy all because of a social media meme, a simple post on social media, which is her freedom of speech. She has the right to put whatever she wants out there. But this social media post that she made has come back, and now you have people attacking her for something as simple as her freedom of speech. How you doing, Chastity?
Hello, I'm doing great. How are you?
Oh, we're doing okay. How you doing, Craig Lee?
I'm doing well, Brother Robert and Brother Alfonso.
Great to have y'all on the show today.
Yeah, thank you both for coming on today's show.
Thank you for having us.
Chastity, I'm going to start with you because you're the one that's really in the hot seat today. You kind of stirred up a hornet's nest there and stuff, but some said that's nothing new because you're very outspoken, and so that's why you are here today. But before we get into the post that was shared, I want you to tell our listeners, if you will, a little bit about Chastity, where you're employed now, and where you stand in the community.
Okay, well, I'm Chastity Kennedy. I'm currently a Morehouse Parish School Board member for District 6. I'm going on my third year on the board. I have two children that enrolled in the Morehouse Parish School System. I am not only just an elected official, but I'm also I consider myself a grassroots advocate who try to empower the people in my community to help them understand how important it is to get involved, and not just in the political process, but working on once you change the mind, once the mindset changes, then people can kind of grow in a different direction. Majority of our people, not, you know, just in the world, period, you know, we have so many things entertaining us, from movies to TV shows to radio, to where, you know, they're not even concerned about what, you know, the bigger picture of what's going on in the world today, such as politics.
Okay.
That's a good point. That's a good point, because I always say that, in particular in the black community, we would rather be entertained than informed. And that's you know, one of the biggest obstacles we have as far as actually getting our people into a mindset to stand up and fight. Go ahead, Alfonso.
Okay, I'm sorry. Yes, sir. Okay, let's give Craig Lee a chance to address the listeners there and tell his position and what he's currently involved in the community. And Craig Lee, we have been trying to get you on the show for a long time. I am excited to have you on the show, brother. I heard you speak once. I think it was during a Trayvon Martin rally we were having down at the courthouse in Shreveport, Louisiana.
Yeah.
And right after when you begin to speak, I'm like, we got to get the brother on the show. So I'm happy to have you here, brother.
Yeah, definitely. I'm pleased to be here, honored to be here. I am the troublemaker. I'm Shreveport, Louisiana, and I'm honored today because this is my first opportunity to share the mic with my wife. We'll be going to Africa in a few months to jump the broom. So, Chastity Kennedy I'm her co-pilot in this particular endeavor. And I've been on the scene doing grassroots advocacy work for the past 22 years here in Shreveport, Caddo Parish, and throughout the state of Louisiana. And as the creator would have it, Chastity and I connected December the 27th of 2014, and from her inauguration in January of 2015 until now, we've been like rocking and rolling together in this game of trying to help empower our people from Northwest Louisiana to Northeast Louisiana, from Shreveport to Bastrop, and from Caddo Parish to Morehouse Parish, Louisiana. And like I said, she is a phenomenal sister who is learning the ropes, and now having been thrust into this situation this week, this is, I think, the second or third national story that we've been connected with over the past several months, because her son, or should I say our son, Jalen, popularized the school-to-prison pipeline situation. So we've kind of like been getting the whole family involved in understanding the importance of standing up and speaking for your rights and helping your people. So I want to thank you for having both of us on the show, and we look forward to giving you some insightful information that will help your listeners.
And we are glad to have both of you all on the show as well. And congratulations on the wedding there. And it looks like you all are going to be a very powerful couple. And as Robin and I always, when a black person has a mind and has a voice, then he or she becomes a threat to the system, because you begin to speak out. But you're even more powerful when you become involved. So congratulations to both of you there.
Thanks.
So what we got now? A whole family of troublemakers, huh, Craig?
that's about right.
You all of the Secret Service, it's like former President Obama had.
Yeah, that's about right. That's about right. The only difference is we are focused on grassroots. There is no fluff, you know, in our game. We are really focused on getting grassroots people, in particular black people, but serving as a catalyst to help other grassroots ethnic groups come into the awareness as well, because everybody got to have a seat at the table. And that's where this game has gotten twisted for grassroots people and the elites, the plutocrats, the oligarchs, have basically set up a system whereby all of the grassroots people of different ethnic groups, they fight against each other and they get pitted against each other based on situations just like what we're dealing with today.
Exactly. And Chastity, tell me about this post that you shared that has a lot of people in Bastrop, Louisiana, in uproar, black people and white people. Some are in your favor and some are against you. Some are saying that you are trying to incite a racist movement in the city, that there's no racism there. But the post that you shared, now correct me if I'm wrong, that wasn't your post. You just shared it. Am I correct?
Correct. It's like I'm always sharing things on Facebook, and the day that I shared that post, I think it was the same day that Congress had voted to start stripping the affordable health care plan. And I just shared it. I literally didn't even give it another thought until I received a phone call the next day from the news station stating that some constituents from Bastrop Morehouse Parish had called the news station stating that they wanted to know why I shared the post. So it kind of blindsided me. And so I just advised him that I would respond to them in writing, and he was stating that he was wanting to get me on camera, and I said no, because I know how the news do. You all do sound bites, so you all will play what you want to play and spin it like you want to spin it. So he agreed to email me some questions, and I responded in writing. But to be honest, I thought it was very petty. I think they were just trying to find something to start attacking me on, because I've been doing so much empowerment work, not just from a school board standpoint of keeping people in Morehouse Parish aware of what's been going on the last 3 years, but I had just helped my cousin win his city council seat, and I had just helped Mayor-elect Henry Cotton win his seat. So I just think it got to a point where they were just trying to say, we got to find something to bring up to try to tarnish her.
Let me
jump in real quick, Alfonso, because a lot of our listeners are not familiar with the post that she shared. Could you tell us what the actual post was?
It was a post of, it was a meme, and at the top of the meme, it was KKK, the Republican Party in KKK hoodies, and at the bottom, it was some members of the Republican Party. But, of course, it was Photoshopped, so that's what caused the outrage, stating that, I shouldn't have done that, I need to be recalled, or I need to be fired, or unseated. They were using all different kind of terms. So that's what it was that I shared.
Okay, so, Chastity, let me ask you, do you now regret that you shared that photo?
Oh, not at all. And that's another thing that they were outraged about after they sent the questions and to hear my responses. They were like, and on the news, I think they quoted, Ms. Kennedy stands by the post, the meme she shared, Because you have people sometimes that have said things, and then when it's an outrage, they have to come back and say they didn't mean it like that, or, But no, I stood by mine. I don't regret it at all.
let me say this. One of the being her direct teammate, husband and mentor in this whole process, Brother Alfonso, I thought it was laughable, because the individuals who attempted to now have this fake outrage, if they had only studied history, you would know that the Congress, the United States Congress, was entrenched with KKK members. Strom Thurmond, Robert Byrd, for example, who was the mentor for Hillary Rodham Clinton, was a direct member of the KKK. All of your founding fathers of America were slave owners. So what this really was is an opportunity to create fake outrage in a situation where, if you just study history, the proof is actually in the pudding, not only as it relates to the Republican Party that currently exists, but also the Democratic Party, because both of the entities have been complicit and participatory in the white supremacist movement, whether it be the Ku Klux Klan and other white supremacist organizations.
Right. Okay, and I agree with all those strong points that you just made there, Craig. You're absolutely right on all of those. Chastity, it looks like you're a school board member and you are also the administrative assistant to Mayor Henry Cotton in Bastrop, Louisiana. You're outspoken in the community there. And it looks like you are becoming a very powerful black woman. And sometimes when we begin to gain power, then we become a threat to the system. And so I'm wondering, is there something else hidden in Bastrop, Louisiana, that some people in Bastrop don't want to come out and they fear that you might start something that will change a lot of things in Bastrop, Louisiana, because you're very outspoken. You made some strong, I mean very strong allegations against four of your white members that sit on the Morehouse Parish School Board with you. I think at one time you referred to them as having a white supremacist mentality. Do you remember saying
yes,
that?
I remember calling them racist, yes. I'm not the assistant to the mayor yet. I don't start that until July the 1st. I have been starting stuff since I got on the board. This is before I got on the board, actually. I came before the previous board, before I even took office. They were in the process of trying to sell a school that they had recently closed. And I came before the board to, give them reasons why it's not a good idea to sell the school at this time. I mean, we had just closed the school currently that year, and we couldn't say whether we were going to, end up with more children and have to reopen the school or not. So I was already caused in trouble even before I got on the board, and then I ended up bringing in Henry Cotton at that time, who presented a PowerPoint presentation to break down the appraisal for that school. That school was closed in May 2014, and appraisal was done 2 weeks later in June. And when he broke down, after we went over the appraisal and he presented it before the board, he was able to let it be known that that appraisal was invalid, causing the person that was trying to buy to back off it. He basically said he's no longer interested in purchasing the school, but tried to use the reason as to there's so much commotion going on in the community. But I really think it was because Mr. Cotton had brought some valid information about it being flawed. As far as the four white board members and them being racist, or white supremacist or what have you, people call people racist all the time, black, white, but people have to understand what racism is. Racism is when one group of people have the power to control the outcome of another race of people. So I call those four white board members racist because they are the majority of an 85% African-American student population. And the way they vote is always against the interest of our 85% children. So they are four white board members, and they have the ability to control the outcome of our school system, which is what they've been doing. And so they're not voting in the interest of our children. Plus those four white board members, none of them have children in the regular public school system. Their children either go to school in Ouachita Parish, or at the Beekman Charter School that we have in Morehouse Parish, which is 90% white. The other board members who have grandchildren, one of them have grandchildren in the system, and their grandchildren don't even go to school in the system. She's an African-American board member who pretty much works along with those four white board members to keep our people, our children, oppressed, so to speak, and all of her grandchildren go to school in Sterlington. So none of them even have children directly in the Morehouse Parish school system.
Okay, I know that Robert has some questions that he wants to ask you, but I want to, before I turn it over to Robert, I want to ask you, because the school that you were talking about that, when you say you came in and you were somewhat making trouble, is this Southside Elementary School?
Yes, it's Southside,
Okay. So when the Robert, of course, you know, called me and we talked about what was going on with you and Patrick Louisiana, and then I started receiving other phone calls and emails concerning you and the trouble that you were making down in Bastrop, Louisiana. So, you know, it wouldn't be fair if we didn't call the school board members to give them an opportunity to respond to some of the allegations that you have made against them. So I didn't get a chance this morning to speak with all of them. I spoke with one lady. Her name was, I think, Karen Deal. I'm sure you know her, right? Okay. And we spoke, I guess, for about 20 or 30 minutes, and she wanted to come on the show, but she said some things today would not let her come on the show, but when time permits, she would sit down and send us a statement in an email. But she did talk about the school system, Southside, that it was going to cost, I think, $1 million to renovate it, and then after it was closed, that you raised concern about trying to reopen it, and it was going to cost more now to reopen the school. And I just want you to respond to what she said about you as far as her and the others being a racist. One of the things she said is that that either you are unintelligent to what's going on, or you're immature as to how things work when you're sitting on a board, and that none of the members there are racist. So I just want to give you an opportunity to respond to what Karen told this morning.
Okay, as far as Southside, like Southside has been an issue since before I got on the board, and while I've been on the board, and each time they bring it up to try to sell it, I always bring out information to where they take it off the table for a couple months, basically because I fight so hard for it. But I can remember at one meeting, I had called the maintenance supervisor to the front. I think that was the time, Craig, you came. I had you on the agenda,
yes.
And you
yes.
came before. You were already there. But I had to call the maintenance supervisor before the board, and I had looked at all the schools, because years ago they did an assessment of every school as to how much it was going to cost to repair each school before they made the decision to close Southside. And so I asked the maintenance supervisor to clarify, you know, that he assisted the company that they hired when they went out to every school. He stated that he did. And I went to say Pine Grove shows this amount, Southside shows this amount. Do you agree that before you all made a decision to close a school, the newspaper was quoted back in 2014 that the reason Southside was closed because that is the school that would cost the most to repair. But clearly, when they brought the company in to do the assessment of all schools, it showed that Pine Grove was that school that was going to cost the most to be repaired. And they didn't want that school to close because that used to be a majority white school, and it's out there a few miles from Beekman Charter School, where the majority white charter school is at. So Pine Grove used to be majority white. It's no longer majority white now because the children that could go to Beekman are now at Beekman. And I think they only had like 30 white children that lived within a 3 to 5 mile radius of that school. So I pushed for that school to be closed, stating that Southside should be reopened because they were busing over 160-something of our black children down to that elementary school just to keep the elementary school open. So my fight was to reopen Southside and bring our children home instead of making them travel almost 10 miles up the road. So Ms. Deal is not being truthful from that standpoint.
Yeah.
Okay, I think we have a caller on the line. Caller, are you here? Caller, go ahead. You're on the air. Okay, maybe we've lost him. Robert?
Yeah, okay. I'm coming to learn today, in today's time, in this quote-unquote politically correct environment, people throw the term racist around to try to keep other people from speaking their mind,
absolutely,
whether you be black or white, you know what I'm saying? So that's why I feel that Ms. Chastity is getting a lot of negative response. They're basically trying to shut her up. But we know that you have done a lot of work in your community. But why do you feel that empowering your people, I mean, why are you so passionate about the empowerment of your people, our people, rather?
Well, when I think about it now that I'm in a political position, I've always been an advocate for myself and for my children. I think about how, you know, I fought for things that I felt like I was being in the wrong, you know, even when it came to some of the jobs that I've held. But you just think about people or women that came before me, such as Harriet Tubman or Shirley Chisholm or Ida B. Wells. They were female leaders and they were strong leaders. So that's why I'm so passionate about empowering my people. So just like we had strong male leaders such as Marcus Garvey, Martin Luther King, and Malcolm X, we also had strong female leaders. So I know that's why I'm passionate about empowering our people. Slavery has done a number on us as a people. So it's kind of, like I say, it's kind of hard for the majority of us to get involved in the process. So I have monthly community meetings. I have a nonprofit by the name of CURE, Citizens United to Reform and Empower. I started that in 2015, and every month I have community meetings, and I bring different topics. We talk about a lot of school board things, but one month it may be about policing, especially when we still have that going on, but back when our young black boys were getting shot down, you know, we had a monthly meeting pertaining to that, or we may talk about health and wellness. Or we may bring in speakers, you know, so it's different things. I just try to bring enlightenment to our people from all different ways. So, and within the nonprofit of CURE, and I've been having monthly community meetings, I decided to branch off. And so I put on a few projects as well. So this year when we had the mayor and the city council election, my nonprofit put on the mayor and city council forum. And which was a real success. The whole town came out and actually gave us raving reviews as to how well put together the mayor and city council forum went. I recently in February had the Black History Film Festival, the first annual Northeast Black History Film Festival. That was a 3-night film festival, and that was also a success. So it's just small deeds in the midst of doing political things as well to try to get more people involved in the political process, because we're going to need more people like myself, like Derry Green or like Henry Cotton to come in order to take control of the public policy from all different sectors, not just school board or the city, but, you know, police jury as well.
Well,
I have to applaud you, Cassidy, because you are a very strong and vocal black woman, and we know our world is in a mess, but, you know, you make me wonder, where would we be without strong black women like yourself and strong black men like Craig, you know? And so I applaud you for what you're doing, and at a later date and time, if you're willing, we would love to have both you and Craig come back on the show. But one question I want to ask you, and I'm going to give it to Robert, is that if you could change anything with the school system, Morehouse school system, to make things better for your people, what would it be?
If I could change anything to make the school system better, would be to to be the majority on the board, but you can't just be the majority in color. Because black, people think because they're black, everybody that looks like you is not for you. So So I would say I need 2 to 3 more people that's like myself and like school board member Mr. Melton. And so if I could change anything, it would be when re-election comes up next year and I run for re-election, and I think Mr. Melton is running for re-election as well, I need 2 to 3 solid people, you know, that will be willing to run and help take control of the public policy. Now, don't get me wrong. If we have some one out there that's kind of like Tim Wise or Jane Elliott, which are Caucasian people that understand what black people go through. So if we had somebody that was similar to them that wanted to run and would help do the right thing, then by all means, that's one thing that I would want to change.
Okay.
All right. Now, I got 3 questions. The first 2 questions I want to ask for Craig, and then I'll come back and ask the 3rd one for you, Sassy. But I want to say, Harriet Tubman made a good statement. She said that I freed 1,000 slaves, and I could have freed 1,000 more if only they knew they were slaves. Now, we as black people, I'm going to keep it real. I don't want to offend nobody out there in radio land, but I'm going to keep it real. We're sitting around waiting on Jesus to come and change our situation, and that ain't happened in 400 years. We put so much emphasis on religion, but you keep emphasizing public policy. And it's until we realize that we have to get out and start challenging some of these laws by going out to your city council, getting out to church, going into your city council building, and actually speaking up to power. And that's, you know, that's just something I had to throw off in there because, again, Chassie, you keep mentioning public policy, and I'm going to be real. A lot of our people probably don't even understand what public policy is. And in order to change our situation, we're going to have to step up and start changing public policy. But, Craig, with Donald Trump being in the office, there's come a new phrase that's hot in America right now, fake news. You know what I'm saying? Why is fake news so dangerous? Because the narrative, it seems that I've been seeing in the post that Chastity made, the news basically, the news media, basically twisted her words or twisted the whole situation to try to point her in a racist situation. And then when they got called out, when you all stood your ground, they see that they were wrong. They tried to back down. But why do you think fake news is so dangerous?
Well, what makes fake news dangerous, which is actually the new term for BIS information or MIS information, those particular terms the government has used, and that goes into the whole concept of negative propaganda. And the reason that fake news is so detrimental and dangerous is because the majority of people don't read, they don't know how to analyze, they don't know how to think. And so most of what they believe or most of the places that they get their information from is where? Television, radio, newspaper. So if you have fake news that's, you know, in these particular forms, now you can basically manipulate people into moving on something that could, you know, result in something outrageously happening. And I'm going to give you a prime example. And this happened to President Barack Obama with fake news. If you remember, during his first election, Breitbart News, his first term, Breitbart News came out with this fake news piece on this sister by the name of Shirley Sherrod. It was almost the same thing like with what happened in Chastity. And Shirley Sherrod was an employee with the United USDA, United States Department of Agriculture. And they created a fake news situation where she was featured talking at an NAACP banquet from a few years earlier. And she made some comments about black empowerment. And it was all on point. But Breitbart created this fake news story and put it out there, okay?
Mm-hmm.
President Barack Obama didn't even fact-check the information when his point person for the USDA said, we need to fire this sister. And so they called her on the phone, and they said, you're fired. She pulled over on the side of the road. They basically said, get out of that car, and we want your job. And they did not do any investigation into this situation. Well, lo and behold, now the information, the truth comes out, and now everybody, the NAACP went against Shirley Sherrod. Everybody went against Shirley Sherrod. And when the truth came out a few days later, it was like, oh, we're so sorry. And they hurt that lady to the core.
Exactly.
She was a number one supporter of Barack Obama. She was a number one supporter of this dude. And so that was fake news. Then the same president there that created a fake news story that dealt with Dr. Louis Gates being arrested in his own home, that created a fake news story to make it appear that the police had justifiable cause to arrest this dude in his own home. And when Barack Obama spoke out about this, they shut him down when he said this is right. So when you have fake news, you can manipulate a lot of people to do things that they shouldn't do before they fact check a situation.
Mm-hmm.
And
Malcolm X did. Oh, I'm sorry.
Go ahead,
Jackie.
No.
Go ahead, Jackie. Go ahead.
Kind of like Malcolm X, you know, the media is the most powerful entity on earth. They have the power to make the innocent guilty and to make the guilty look innocent, and that is power because they control the mind of the masses. So that's why fake news is dangerous.
Mm-hmm, exactly. Well, I want to pick it back on something Craig said. This is just my opinion. Don't get mad at Alfonso, but I got a new acronym for the NAACP because they're so ineffective. It's, I shouldn't say it, but anyway, non-effective, prune-colored people. Because the NAACP, yeah, don't get mad at Alfonso, but that's just the reality. The NAACP, really, they just need to hang it up and basically just go somewhere, get on an island by themselves and just set it on fire. But anyway, let me go on to this.
Robert, I don't care if they get mad at me, but there's some feedback somewhere, but they can get mad at me because I totally agree with you, especially with the NAACP here in Shreveport. I think they're just a joke. They do absolutely nothing for the community. But I wanted to go back on what Craig was talking about because I remember that story and when they made that lady pull over and they fired her while she was in the car. And that hurt. And then when they got their facts together, they offered her her job back, and she wouldn't take it because she was so hurt. She was so hurt.
Absolutely.
So I'm glad you brought that up. Mm-hmm. But you know what?
Let me just say this, Alfonso. So that's what they thought was going to happen because they went in the paint on Chastity and said she needs to be fired before she even takes the position in July. So I got to commend Mr. Henry Cotton for standing his ground because they wanted Chastity gone. And like I told her, we're going to stand our ground because first and foremost, these people don't even know what the term racism even means. And so when you go back and study the Shirley Sherrod situation, that lady was devastated. She was traumatized. She never thought that President Barack Obama would have been complicit in some foolishness like that.
Exactly.
And the point person, who helped to navigate that story with Bright Boy News, he is working for who? Donald Trump.
Imagine that. You know, and but here's the thing with with Chastity's what she shared, what we're missing here is that it's not something that she created. She just shared it. Now, it doesn't necessarily mean she's in agreement with it.
I mean, like almost a million shares? It was a lot of
Because I share things every day on my page. It doesn't mean that I'm in agreement with it, but I share them. So now, if you really want to get down to the bottom of it, then find out who created it and then deal with them and stuff. But she shared what she had a right to share.
The thing is, Alfonso, it is power, as you mentioned earlier, the power that she is generating by being willing to stand up against the racist system in Bastrop and Morehouse Parish. Martin Luther King said something, and he said that a man, and it really is a person, who is not willing to die for something ain't fit to live. And Chastity has made it her business to be willing to risk her life to help advocate and empower black people and other oppressed people in Bastrop and Morehouse Parish. They do not like that. They do not want that. So that's how the sharing of this particular image was now creating a fake outrage because they need to silence her and stop her before she can mobilize and organize people to get in and change this system in Bastrop and Morehouse Parish.
Mm-hmm. And again, you know, we applaud Chastity for what you're doing. But Craig, I have to ask you something that not dealing with today's show, but just in case I don't ever get you on my show again, I have to ask you about some issues that are going on in Shreveport with all the shootings and the killings.
If I may.
Robert and I, we've done several shows on this, and this is my thing that the police hadn't said it, Mayor Audrey Tyler hadn't said it, but I'm calling it, it's a crisis. And I believe if it was white kids that were being killed almost every day or shot almost every day, then it would be a national issue by now. And I'm not against praying because I'm a praying man, but I said something recently, and I, you know, got some backlash from that we can pray until the river meets the sea. When you get through praying, if you will look back at history, because history is always our teacher, we will look and see that praying hasn't done anything because it looks like it's going to get worse. So when we get through praying, then we have to get up, we have to get out, and we have to do something because it looks like it's getting worse in Shreveport, and it's becoming the norm. So I just want you to address the issues in Shreveport with the killings and the shootings, if you will, please. Those are just my views.
Yeah. Look, that's powerful statements that you made. And I remember in 1995 when I decided to leave corporate America and start doing this empowerment work here in Shreveport, I remember talking to my grandmother, and my grandmother said, you know, the traditional black saying, baby, you know prayer changes things. And I remember telling my grandmother, I said, Grandmother, I've come to learn that is not correct. And she looked at me and she said, excuse me? I said, Grandmother, I've come to learn that prayer changes nothing. I left the house. She didn't say anything. And I left the house and I came back later on. And my mother said, Craig, I need to talk to you. Your grandmother said that you don't believe in prayer. And I started laughing. I said, Mama, I didn't tell grandmother that. I said, I told her something different than what she's accustomed to hearing. I said that prayer without action changes nothing. So my mother said, Craig, explain what you're talking about. I said, Mama, here's the thing. Let's say you need a job. And you know you need a job to take care of your family. You know you got to make some things happen. And you're at home every day praying. You're on your knees praying. But you ain't getting up. You're not filling out no applications. You don't have a resume. You're not networking. But you're praying. You're in the house. You're praying. I said, Mama, what is going to be the likelihood that you get a job if you don't, nobody knows you need a job. You don't have anything to say what your skills are. And my mother said, Craig, that makes so much sense. So when we start to look at the dynamic of the police killings, the black-on-black violence or even the police killings, this is what me and Robert, we say so often. And here's my quote on the black-on-black violence. Until black lives begin to matter to black people, they will never matter to no other ethnic group, especially our oppressor. You see? So what this is, Brother Alfonso and Brother Robert, this is a spiritual and cultural warfare that's going on with ourselves. Because until we embrace spirituality and look at Alfonso and Robert as my brother, until I look at Chastity Kennedy and her children as my sister and my children, we will forever be caught in this wicked web of Willie Lynch syndrome, which basically says we need to kill each other because we hate ourselves. See, I tell black people, listen, where is Black Lives Matter now? They're silent. So you want me to now march and rally when 100-something murders happen because a white police officer murders a black person, and that's wrong, and we should call that out. But we got over 9,000 murders a year, and we're doing this to ourselves, and we ain't supposed to say nothing? You got to be crazy. You got to be crazy. And so at the end of the day, this is a spiritual and cultural crisis that we must deal with, and the church must elevate and stop being complete. They're sitting on the side, holding their hands down, while black males are murdering each other and black females are murdering each other. But until you bring in what I call the six pillars of empowerment in every person's life, spirituality, culture, education, economics, socioeconomics, and politics, until we master those six pillars, we will forever, whether it is murdering each other, whether it is poor education, poor housing, we will forever and a day be in this particular predicament.
That's excellent. I totally agree with that, Robert.
Okay, we're getting kind of short on time, man. When you have a good time, time go by fast. But I'm going to skip this one question. I'm going to go straight to Chastity. I want you to answer this question because I can see a link. Now, recently, your son, Jalen, he made so many of us proud with his school prison pipeline social study project, which took him all the way down to the state finals in Baton Rouge. And for those who don't know, he had to face one of the judges who happened to be a police officer who at the same time was a teacher. So what kind of conflict of interest was he facing? I mean, think about it. He's doing a project on the school to prison pipeline, and the judge is a former police officer who's now a teacher. I mean, my little man, he didn't stand a chance.
Principal.
Even worse, he didn't stand a chance. He basically was counted out from Jump Street. But do you think that might have something to do also with some of the backlash that you're facing right now?
Oh, most definitely. Like I say, I've been consistent these last going on 3 years. With things that I'm doing in the community from an elected official standpoint and a grassroots standpoint as well. So when you have children that have always, been successful children or, made good grades or whatever, and they start to get in the limelight like you are in the limelight, and then for him to go national, go viral, we were getting phone calls, inboxes, interviews from people all over the country. And even at his school, like there were, you know, things being said by teachers, like didn't think that, you know, he should be, the news should be able to come to the school and interview him and not interview other children. But it's like, they, you know, it's not like I was calling the news to tell them to come interview him. It's just like I posted a picture on Facebook and it just went viral and they reaching out to me. So, yeah, it was a lot of negative. It was a lot of positive comments, don't get me wrong, but it was a lot of negative comments from all different races. So, yeah, I would have to say that has a lot to, you know, a lot to do with everything that's going on now. Then to have my daughter, she ran for SGA president and was trying to be sabotaged. The superintendent was trying to sabotage her SGA campaign. That was an uproar locally. She ended up winning. So when you are making moves and then your children, you know, are doing things as well, then, yeah, the haters will start to show.
Yeah, they go back to that family of troublemakers.
Yeah. And Robert, I'll say this as it relates to Jalen. If you have a 12-year-old boy who makes it his focus for his social studies project to say, hey, I want to do this on the school-to-prison pipeline because the people who are getting caught up in this look like me, around my same age. Sure. And you would have thought that everybody at his school and in Bastrop would have been 100% behind it, but you literally had some teachers who were taking issue with this. And one thing that needs to be understood, because Chastity and I had to go see his teachers surrounding some of the slick cap remarks that they made. And I'll never forget, Jalen told me and Chastity that day, he said, Craig, thanks for going to stand up for me. And we got to show black children that we're willing to stand. If we're going to ask them to study hard and do all the right things, and we know that evil people are willing to come out against them and try to attack them because they are smaller and they are weaker than their parents, we got to stand up for our children. If we really believe that it takes a village not just to raise a child, but a village to empower a child, we got to be about our business. And we wanted to let it know, be known, that we were going to rep for Jalen, we're going to rep for Javier, and not to be in some form of a status thing, but to show other parents and other relatives, this is how you go about advocating for your children. You do the right things by your children. Your children do the right things by you, your family, and the community, and that's what we're supposed to be producing. So, yeah, Robert, they don't like it. We don't care if they don't like it because at the end of the day, we're teaching Jalen and Javier to be soldiers. We're teaching them to go against the status quo. We're teaching them to fight against oppression. And we're going to keep on teaching them. And they're going to keep on positively infecting other children to do the same thing. And we're going to link up with other parents who are willing to do the same thing. And guess what? Then you're going to get some change.
Exactly. I got a message for a lot of the parents, especially the younger parents out there. If your 7-year-old child can quote the lyrics to Future's Mask Off or any one of these rap songs but can't do a math problem, it's not the school's fault. It's your fault because education really starts at home. And Jalen is a prime example of it. So we can't put everything off on the school system that we know is set up from Jump Street to see our basically see most of the majority of our kids fail. You see what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
So, again, you know, take responsibility for the education of your child because, again, it's we live in a sad state of society where young black men get more recognition and credit for going to jail as opposed to graduating school. And that it shouldn't be. Now, we got less than 6 minutes. I got to ask this last question because it's very relevant to the situation at hand. All right, Chastity, is Mr. Cotton, Henry Cotton, is he the first black mayor in the history of Bastrop?
Oh, no, not at all. We've had three black mayors. The last three mayors have been black. But Mr. Cotton is, in my opinion, he's one of the strongest people that should have already been mayor. He's the first black person that, you know, ever to own a radio station in the state of Louisiana. He's an engineer. He's been an entrepreneur since the 1970s. He's always been real connected. He's always networking. So personally for me, he's been a mentor for like the last almost 10 years, if it wasn't for him tutoring me, researching statistics when I was in college. You know, I wouldn't have a college degree. He helped me. He was my campaign manager when I ran for school board. He's helped my children so many times. Javia is now up to a 25 on the ACT. So, and he has been doing things for all children for the last 50 years. And what people don't know is if he's tutored a child at his office or in their home, he doesn't charge a dime. The only time he charges is when he goes out to a school or to a college and he gets a contract. Then he charges those entities then. But as far as just a student coming to his office or going to their homes over the last 50 years, he's been tutoring children free of charge. So he's just always been a pillar in the community, and he was just due his chance to finally been given the opportunity to run this city. So I'm very elated about that, and I can't wait till July 1st comes so we can go ahead and get this officially started. He's already been out there networking and everything the day after the election. So
Robert, let me say this,
right.
and this is why Shreveport needs to start paying attention to Bastrop as it relates to Mr. Henry Cotton winning this election. He's the education advocate, okay? He's that person, and that's going to be a major thing. But here's the Shreveport connection. One of the first radio stations that he owned, a black-owned radio station, was right here in Shreveport. And you know what that is? KDKS radio station. Mr. Henry Cotton, along with my former mentor, Harry Huckabee, and their other business partner, they were the black ownership of the original black ownership of KDKS FM radio station.
Okay,
so,
we are
that's real.
Just out of time, and I thank you all for coming on the show today.
Absolutely.
It has been a very informative show. Chastity, listen, with the other organizations that you have going, anytime that you have an event, if you would like to share it on Injustice Investigations, you are more than welcome to do that. Craig Lee, you are welcome to do the same thing. I'm going to ask that we can have both of you all back on the show again. I applaud you all for what you're doing. And as they said to Jesus, Chastity, I find no fault in anything that you have done. Continue to do what you do. You're one of the few, and we need more black sisters like you with a voice to stand up and speak out. Too many of our sisters and brothers are being quiet when they need to be raising some hell. So we can keep calm if we want to, but keeping calm keeps us down as well. Again, I thank both of you all for coming on the show today.
Thank you.
Thank you so very much for having me. I really enjoyed it.
You are welcome. You got a sweet little voice, but I know you can raise some hell. I wish I could be a fly on the wall at your next board meeting. I'll be there. Wouldn't you want to be there, Rob?
Yeah.
All right. As always,
right.
We thank you all for tuning in to Injustice Investigations. This is Alfonso Scott along with Robert Thomas. We will see you on review. Thank you all again.
All right.
Okay, bye-bye.
Appreciate y'all. God be blessed.